football on off the ball.
He played down at Millwall a couple of times in the Den. That was at a time when Danny Shiddu was the captain of Millwall, and he used to stand at the front of the tunnel with no top on and bark like a dog. Honestly, we can laugh now because it is a bit funny, but it's the most intimidating thing I've ever seen.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The final whistle on Off the Ball with NoviBet. Up to 250% boost on all accas. Download and play today. 18 plus, see gamblingcare.ie.
Well, they finished 1-0 to the Arsenal, Keith, and it's a result that will have both sides of North London celebrating tonight. Of course, Tottenham will be happy that West Ham failed to get any points from the game. Gives them the chance to control their own destiny in the last three matches in the battle to beat the drop. While Arsenal, of course, are now in control again of the title destiny of the Premier League. There's nowhere else we can start, I don't think, in this game other than that disallowed goal scored by Callum Wilson right at the end for West Ham. And look, I was just saying to you before we started our little chat, there was a lot of stuff going on in the box there, and we've seen, I think correctly, the West Ham player Tadebo. I think once he puts his hand on the arm of David Raya and stops him from catching the ball, he can't have any complaints. But there was a lot of pushing, a lot of shoving. We saw Declan Rice rugby tackling Mavropanos, the back post. Trossard made an illegal challenge in there. So it's down to the referee to stop the play then, because he's already seen a couple of fouls. He has to stop it when the corner is being taken, but instead he allows play to develop. He allows West Ham to score the goal, and then we're left with this controversial mess. So they're using VAR as something of a backup instead of actually doing their job on the pitch.
Yeah, I take your point. I think JD described it a couple of weeks ago as stabilisers for the referee, that if they make a mistake, VAR will come and sort it out for them. But as you say, I think if we were to look at that corner into the box again, you could probably highlight six or seven fouls, and a lot of them look like they're being made by Arsenal players. But given where the vicinity of the ball and the fact that David Raya gets both hands on it and it squirms through the middle, then you look at Pablo with the arm on his arm, there's a bit of a forearm across his face as well, which I'm sure has something to do with David Raya's sight. You can see why the foul has been given. And generally, when you make contact with the goalkeeper and you don't make any contact with the ball, it's always going to be a foul. I think we all know goalkeepers are a protected species, so I'm not surprised that it was given, but I ultimately do take your point that while there's wrestling matches going on like that, the referee's got to stop it, don't let the corner kick come in and go from there. But yeah, it was just one of those. I mean, I'm not going to go down too deep into the analytics. I think Arsenal just had to win that game by hook or by crook, just go and win that game somehow. They managed to do that. Wasn't a brilliant performance, but there were some brilliant individual moments in the game, and I think I need to highlight Martin Odegaard coming off the bench. Obviously lost his place now to Zubimendi, Lewis Skelly, Rice, whoever else might play in the middle, but he doesn't stick the bottom lip out when he gets called upon. Get out there and get us a goal. You could easily go, I should have started, not quite up for it, but he just keeps getting the ball. As soon as he come on, killer pass in behind, nothing comes from it. 5 minutes later, he does it again, and the third time he does it, he wanders into the 18-yard box and just gives the ball to Trossard, who manages to dig out a lovely little finish. It just helter-skelter, chaotic, mental game, and thankfully Arsenal managed to come out the right side of it.
Yeah, and Keith, you rightly correct me there, it was Pablo, of course, not Tadebo. I need a lie down myself after the game. But Martin Odegaard, I think Mikel Arteta owes him a drink after that game, because we did say during the commentary the pressure I felt got to Mikel Arteta in that game, because there's an injury to Ben White in the 28th minute. He brings on Zubimendi as a midfielder and decides to take Declan Rice out of his best position, centre midfield, and puts him at right back when he's got a good enough replacement on the bench in Christian Mosquera. Now that means, because he makes a change at half time, brings on Mosquera for Calafiori and then puts Lewis Skelly in a full back, so Declan Rice going back into midfield, then makes a double substitution, bringing on Odegaard and Havertz for Eze and Zubimendi, and it means then he only has one more change to make when the game was still in the fire, and he could only bring on Madueke, and you've also got Martinelli on the bench. I think he made a mistake with his substitutions there, and that he's actually lucky that Odegaard came up with that killer pass to set Trossard up for the goal.
Yeah, I think you're spot on. It was such a... I said in commentary when Ben White went down and it looked like he wasn't going to play any further part, well, Christian Mosquera will go right back. It's staring you straight in the face as an easy solution. I don't know whether he's thinking, you know, I need to be more on the front foot, I want to lose this, you know, game management tag and defender this and defender that, putting on attacking players, but ultimately it was the wrong decision. I think the West Ham would have been happier looking at Declan Rice leaving the middle of the park to go to right back, thinking your strongest player in the middle of the park who's playing well and Arsenal are in the ascendancy, you're going to move him to right back against one of our better players in Crescencio Somerville. Not so sure, you know, you can think about Zubimendi this and we'll move this and we'll move that. The fact that Arteta looked at it, and to be honest, Theo, I think we should give him a bit of praise as well. He made the wrong decision there. I've seen him in consultation with Gabriel Heinze. They decided to go with Zubimendi, but he didn't think, oh, well, I've made that decision and I need to stick with it now. He looked at it and thought, Rice at right back is not working. We need to change this around. And he took Calafiori off. I know Zubimendi won't be happy with it, but the fact that he's decided he was intelligent enough to think that's a wrong decision and I'll rectify that. I understand towards the end we're thinking, where's Martinelli, where's Delman? He tied his hands behind his back with that silly substitution, but ultimately he got it done and he did rectify it. So I wouldn't be throwing too much shade on it, but it just goes to show you that pressure does mental things to people. It was staring him right in the face, Mosquera right back, easy peasy. But no, he decides to overcomplicate, and sometimes you can be your own worst enemy in this game.
Yeah, because he might have to buy Zubimendi a drink as well, just to apologise for bringing him on and then taking him off in the 68th minute. We'll see how that plays out over the next couple of games. Excuse me, but overall, Keith, as a performance for Arsenal, not their best performance, you'd have to say, across the team, but considering they come in off the back of like a really big Champions League tie to win that semi-final against Atletico Madrid, the highs of that, you know, and the dangers of coming down off that high into that really tough match against West Ham, you know, they've shown great metal bottle, should I say, even come through this other challenge as well after another big match during the week.
Yeah, I think Arsenal over the last couple of weeks have really silenced a lot of doubters. I mean, when they had the first leg of the semi-final against Atletico Madrid, you know, a red hot atmosphere, and then they roll into another London derby against Fulham and they do really well in that, and then it's the second leg, absolutely brilliant in that, and then to get back up for this West Ham game, and you could tell straight away the West Ham fans were bang up for this. They knew, you know, their Premier League future is at stake here, and they were really, really up for it. So Arsenal got up to that levels again. In the first 20 minutes, it was all Arsenal again. It was mostly set pieces and balls into the box that they were creating havoc from. But I don't think Arteta would have been too bogged down with the 4-3-3, balls around the corners, get it into Jokeres, just go and outrun these, outfight them. And if you outfight West Ham, you will generally get a good result. But little bits of moment, like there's moments in there, there's a block from Gabriel, from Callum Wilson, I believe it was. There was a huge save from David Raya. There was little moments that had Arsenal not come out the right side of, they could have easily lost that game or drew it. As it was, they managed to come out on top of it, and you know, fine margins within this, and thankfully, as I say, Arsenal have managed to come out, but not through any great, you know, lump of quality or this or that. There was moments of quality from Odegaard, but I think it was just biting down on the gum shield and never say die attitude.
So Arsenal will play at home to Burnley in their penultimate fixture in the league this season, and then they will play away to Crystal Palace on the final day of the season. And meanwhile, Manchester City have three games left to go, and their three matches, they'll play Crystal Palace at home on the 13th. 3 days later, they'll play the FA Cup final against Chelsea at Wembley. Then they're away to Bournemouth and home to Aston Villa. He'll be gearing up for a Europa League final. Crucially for Arsenal, Crystal Palace, when they play them, will have a Conference League final 3 days after the Arsenal match. You'd imagine Glasner will have his eye on the final rather than the Arsenal game. Do you think this is now set up for Arsenal just to see this home without any problems?
I don't know without any problems. I think there'll still be little problems here or there, but ultimately I think Arsenal, I wouldn't say they've won the league today, but they've took a huge, huge step towards it. If you could handpick Arsenal's last two fixtures, you know, Crystal Palace and Burnley would probably be right up the top of the list, given that Crystal Palace will have their eye on the European final. Burnley already relegated, although they threw in a good performance today and ended up getting a draw. But yeah, look at, if Arsenal can't win the league from here, you know, they're never really going to have a better opportunity than now. But so many people are highlighting different things within Arsenal that they're not quite happy with. People are telling me that Victor Gyökeres is not an elite striker and not the answer for Arsenal. 14 league goals this season. I think his performance has slightly been getting better and backing into De Sassi and Mavropanos and Todibo all night. Doesn't really get his rewards in terms of scoring a goal, but his effort is brilliant for me, and I know people have highlighted that before. But Arsenal's evolution, Arsenal finding a way to win a game of football and winning when you're not at your best. I mean, how many times have we seen Manchester City not quite being at their best but win a game of football? Arsenal are starting to do that now. They can win ugly. And look, I'm not fully convinced that Manchester City can go perfect from now till the end of the season. I think the FA Cup final against Chelsea is going to be such a big one. 80,000 fans inside Wembley, and then 3 days later they go to Bournemouth, and Bournemouth have a capacity of about 11,000. It will feel like there's two men and a dog at that match, and it'd be the most natural thing that if City win the cup to come off it ever so slightly, and if you come down 1 or 2% against a Bournemouth team that can raid forward really, really quickly with really good players in the middle of the park, I think that's a big, big banana skin for them. But even if Manchester City are perfect between now and then, Arsenal surely have to go and win the league from now.
Quickly before I move on to West Ham, here's a bananas game for Arsenal to throw at you. The Burnley match is at home, but they know they're going down. Their manager Scott Parker's gone. They're at the stage of the season where players are either playing for contracts to stay at the club, or else they're playing to put on a performance with a view to getting a move somewhere else. So the Burnley players, there is still motivation there for them, even though they're going down.
Of course, yeah, there'll be massive motivation, and even on a simplistic level, you're thinking we're already relegated, but there'll be scouts or Premier League clubs watching this game. Could I do enough for people to think, well, do you know what, I'll have a little gamble on them, we'll keep them in the Premier League. So there will be Burnley players that'll fancy it, but you would imagine the hunger, the fact that Burnley are already relegated and already down, it doesn't really matter what they do. Those Arsenal fans, given the carrot that's in front of them, surely the hunger that we see today is going to be absolutely evident. And a lot of players will be looking at the Champions League final. I know they're still in the midst of the Premier League race, but everybody wants to play in that Champions League final, and Mikel Arteta can dangle that going. Whoever shows me that they can do what I need them to do in the run-in could easily play in that final, and he'll be using Miles Lewis-Skelly as a fine example of that.
Poor old West Ham, like they did put on a good show today. Not a perfect performance, but for the players that they have, I thought the support got behind them. And they'll be feeling really aggrieved coming out of that game today.
They will.
They probably, would you say they did enough to deserve a draw?
Yeah, I think they were a better team in the second half. I thought they were, I wouldn't say much the better team, but they had a real threat on the counter-attack. Somerville is always an absolute handful. Jared Bowen had little flashes here or there. But I don't think you'd really highlight, other than, well, I did think Mavropanos played actually quite well. But other than in an attacking sense, I don't think you'd highlight anybody in a West Ham jersey thinking he was brilliant today. Bowen, not really at the races. The two strikers they changed, not really at the races either. Callum Wilson come on and scored a goal that was disallowed, but didn't really have enough time on the pitch to give him a rating, for want of a better word. Yeah, just all sorts of fight, all sorts of endeavour, you know, tackles thundering in, but probably lack a little bit of quality. And when you, like I say, with Bowen and Suchek, Fernandez in the middle, it is a real head scratcher at times to think, why is there a lack of quality there? But I think, as we said in the build up to the game, there'll be an awful lot of suitors for an awful lot of those West Ham players already to go down. And by the way, it's not done and dusted. I know West Ham will be as low as a snake belly today. It's not done and dusted just yet, and there's still two games to go, so Spurs have a bit of work to do still.
Yeah, crucially, Spurs have a game in hand now, which they'll play tomorrow night against Leeds United at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. Then they go away to Chelsea who I'm sure you'll have players playing for a place in the cup final team, yeah, as well as just not liking Tottenham and wanting to get one over on them. And then Tottenham are home to Everton on the last day of the season. West Ham, meanwhile, they've faced a trip up to the northeast to take on a Newcastle side who perhaps might be on the beach. And then in their last game, West Ham are at home against Leeds United, who also have secured their safety today. So, hard to... Would you pick one there of one of those to go down?
Well, I would be leaning towards Spurs, just given that they have it in front of them and they know they've...
As in Spurs to stay up,
yeah. I think West Ham being as low as a snake's belly today, it just feels like it's too much for them.
Maybe just that they feel that, you know, this is going to... The VAR call and all that's gone against them, so maybe a chance of Espirito Santo can build that kind of siege, the cliche siege mentality, going into those last two games, albeit it's not in their hands.
Yeah, but that's it. It's difficult. Nuno will try and, you know, backs against the wall, everybody's against us, let's come out swinging. But I feel it's been a long, hard season and they've gone to the well so much that the defeat today will really, really hurt them. But look at Leeds tomorrow, from a Spurs point of view. I mean, Leeds are freshly safe now. You know, they could easily play like they're on the beach and they don't really care anymore, or they could turn up and play like it's all free flowing, pretty football, and can be really good. And all the pressure will be with Spurs there. We felt the tension today from an Arsenal side of things and West Ham, obviously. But Spurs will be absolutely full of trepidation as well. And if Leeds were to go ahead, you know, they would find themselves straight back into the mire. So it's still going to be very, very interesting. And though I would be tipping Spurs to stay up, I wouldn't be running to the bookies with it.
Absolutely. Well, Off the Ball is the place where you get all the live and exclusive Premier League commentary every Sunday. We'll be on air early next week because, of course, the fixture times have been changed around. So we're on air from around 12 o'clock next week. We'll have Aston Villa at home to Liverpool from 12:30. Myself and Brian Kerr on duty for that one. And Brentford against Crystal Palace with yourself alongside Phil Egan, Keith. Of course, Aston Villa and Liverpool, still not assured. Well, Aston Villa, could they qualify for the Champions League via the Europa League? A lot of clubs would be hoping so. Liverpool still haven't qualified for the Champions League for next season. So that's going to be a massive, massive game. That kicks off at 12:30 before the other game at 3 o'clock. And before that, on Friday and Off the Ball, we'll have for you Dundalk at home to Shamrock Rovers. Ben Symes and Vinnie Perth will be on duty for that game from 7 o'clock on Off the Ball this Friday night. Do tune in. Thank you.
The final whistle on Off the Ball with NoviBet. Up to 250% boost on all accas. Download and play today. 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.